Children, tomorrow is a special day. We call it Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is to remember the brave soldiers who have died to protect our country and to protect the freedom of our country. And why do we have a special day for remembering our soldiers? Well, one reason is what the Lord taught us that we read from the Gospel of John. The Lord said, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his soul for his friends." And that's what our soldiers have done. They've been willing to risk and lay down their lives to protect their fellow soldiers, to protect our country, to protect all their friends in our country, to protect all the good and true things about our country. In another place that's also part of the number from which our recitation comes, the Lord says, if any danger threatens our country from an enemy or from some other source, it is noble for a soldier to give his life and glorious for a soldier to shed his blood to protect his country. And so that's why we remember our soldiers on Memorial Day. Now, there's nothing glorious or noble about war except for the bravery of the soldiers who protect us in a time of war. War is when hell gets out of its prison and breaks out, and the soldiers are fighting to protect us from the war. They're fighting to try to force hell back into the prison where it belongs so that people are free to work and to live and to raise families and to live a good life following the Lord. The issue in every war is freedom versus domination. Domination means wanting to take away other people's freedom. It means wanting to force them to do what they don't want to do, but what you want them to do, and not let them do the things they want to do. It means taking away their house and their money and all the nice things they have, even taking away their husband or wife and their children from them, locking them up in a prison. That's what war means. That's why our soldiers fight to protect us. And the heavenly doctrine teaches us that civil freedom, the freedom of this world to live a good life, to live a useful life, to work and earn money and raise a family, and to get together in groups of people to talk about what's right and wrong, to argue with each other, the freedom to go to church and read the Lord's word and think about what the Lord is teaching us and then follow that in our life. All of that civil freedom is an essential foundation for spiritual freedom, which is the freedom to see and to love what is good and true and make that your life inside as well as on the outside. Why do we have wars? Why is it necessary? Well, it's because when to evil people or to us, when we're in a bad state, it feels like freedom to take away other people's freedom. It feels free to hurt them and to take away their stuff, to commit adultery, to tell lies about them. That feels free. The thing is, evil people who are in evil don't realize that actually when they are doing those things, they are making themselves the slaves of evil spirits. They don't feel it, but at that time, evil spirits are fastening hard, sharp manacles on their wrists and their legs and heavy chains. And they're forcing them more and more to be driven by evil motives, evil feelings, by cruelty, for example. They can hardly stop themselves unless they think they're going to get hurt even more. Whereas the Lord, what He teaches us, sets us free from the evil spirits. He enables us to lift up our minds and think about what's going on from the light of heaven. Think about ourselves in the light of heaven to see that certain feelings that we have are not coming from the Lord but from hell, and to say no to them. And more we get to be in charge of ourselves instead of the slaves of evil spirits. Now, the Lord tells us, though, that although everybody wants to be free in this natural world, a lot of people don't want to be spiritually free. And He tells us three reasons why. One is people don't have the truths to know what spiritual freedom and slavery are. And if you don't know about eternal life and about the life of heaven and the life of hell, then you just go on feeling like, well, it feels free when I'm doing bad things. The second reason is that the churches, the religions of the Christian world, have taken away the spiritual truths that would make us free. They've said, you can't understand that stuff. You can't understand what eternal life is like or what God is like. He doesn't make sense. So you just have to shut your eyes and believe what we tell you. Don't think about it. And in that way, they have set up an iron curtain around themselves so that people can't see in and say, that doesn't make any sense. How can I believe that? And the third reason, the most serious reason, is that people don't examine themselves. They don't take the truths the Lord has given them and say, well, what does that mean about me? Am I living a good life? Which, in what ways am I not doing what the Lord says that I can do better? And if we don't examine ourselves, then we just go along with the flow of the evil spirits and do what we feel like doing, and we don't think. So that's why people don't crave spiritual freedom as much as they crave natural freedom. Now, the Lord came into the world, both at his first coming and at his second coming, expressly for the purpose to set us free spiritually. Evil spirits had taken over the world of spirits. They had taken over the minds and hearts of human beings. And the Lord broke their hold on us and set us free to choose the way to heaven or the way to hell. We can choose. The Lord gives us that freedom. The Lord fought a war against all the hells that were enslaving us. And his weapon was the divine truth. He showed us, this is your choice. This is a real choice, and you have that freedom to choose. And the Lord, above all, was willing to lay down his soul for his friends, for us. He showed us that life in this natural world is not the most important thing. Life in this world is very important, but the reason it's important is so that by living a good life in this world, by helping our neighbors, being a useful person, and not taking away other people's freedom, we open our minds to receive heaven into us while we live in this world, so that when we die, we're ready to be in the Lord's heaven forever. The Lord showed us that. The Lord laid down his soul for his friends. He set an example for us, and our soldiers, our brave soldiers who've given their lives for our country, we're following the Lord's example. That's especially why we remember them on Memorial Day. Now we can see how we can best honor the soldiers who have given their lives for our country, the soldiers who showed the greatest love for us and for the Lord's kingdom. Most important of all is we can fight the war in ourselves. We can work as hard as we can not to be people who take away other people's freedom, but people who protect other people's freedom, people who are willing to do what the Lord says and are willing to say no to the evil spirits. Number two, we can look out for injustice and lies that are being told or done in our country. And we can fight against those injustices and lies by telling the truth, by sharing the truth with each other, trying to figure out what is the best thing to do. And we can remember the great love of our soldiers to protect our country, and especially the spiritual freedom of our country. The fact that here in our country, we are free to worship and study the Lord's word, to learn his truths, and to live a life according to his truths, to prepare ourselves for a life in the Lord's kingdom. Every day, we have the chance to help stop wars from happening. Doesn't seem like it, but every day that we fight against the evil spirits and we let the Lord conquer the evil spirits within us, and we don't take away other people's freedom, we make the probability of war less likely. Just one at a time, every single one of us, we can help the Lord's kingdom come into this world. That is one of the best ways to remember the great love that our soldiers showed in giving up their lives for our country. Amen.